This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
The more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. I want you to hear that. The more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. The more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. I want to talk to you this afternoon about getting the most out of life. Getting the absolute most out of life that you can. Being preoccupied with all the things that we don't like about ourselves, or all the things that we think are wrong with us, keeps us self-focused and self-centered. Do you know that? Sitting around thinking about everything that's wrong with you is not a holy thing. I think religion sometimes almost makes us feel like it's good to feel bad about ourselves. Well, we should grieve over our sins, but we should also receive forgiveness for them and then just go on. And if you don't do that, there's no way that you can help anybody else. I want to tell you a story that my daughter shared with me this morning that happened to her, and she told me that it was fine for me to share it. She's here in the middle of this conference. She's my daughter, which means maybe even in her mind and other people's minds, she should even behave extra special good. And she had a little fit yesterday. She got upset, really upset about something with herself, but then she kind of took it out on her kids by getting frustrated with them. Do you ever do that when you're really frustrated about this, but you're not ready to deal with that, so now you take it out on somebody else? Because really, God's trying to deal with you inside. Man, I did that for so many years. So, Sandy's had a history in the past of having a lot of problem with condemnation, a lot of problem with legalism, a lot of works of the flesh, and God has really done a great work in her in the last, I'd say, couple of years in particular, and he's really, really has just, I mean, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, it's really set her free from condemnation. And when I say you're free from condemnation, that doesn't mean that you're free from ever doing anything wrong, but it does mean that you finally get it. You're like, okay, I'm no surprise to God. He knew what he was getting when he got me. I love God. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. My goal is to get up every day and just make a little bit of progress. And even if I have a day where I seem to go backwards, or maybe another day where I need to go backwards, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm just going to keep on keeping on until I reach the place that Jesus wants me to be. She said, here's what happened. She said, yesterday after having that episode, she said, now I'm almost at the dome. So getting ready to come in here, and how are you going to feel? What are you going to do? So she said, because of what God's been showing me, I asked my girls to forgive me. I took responsibility. I think that's so important that we learn how to take responsibility for our bad behavior and stop blaming it on everybody else, including the devil. Amen. Just because I act like the devil doesn't mean that it's the devil's fault. Amen. So she's now learned. She's repented. She asked God to forgive her, told her girls she was sorry. And she said, I walked into that dome and I didn't have 1 ounce of condemnation. And she said, now here's what happened. Before she got through the dome, walking through here, 4 different opportunities presented themselves to pray with somebody, encourage somebody, minister to somebody, pray with somebody else. And she said, I know that if I would have walked in here condemned, that I would have totally missed those opportunities because I would have been so self-focused that I wouldn't have even realized the needs of these other people. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's why we've got to come to the point where we stop all this nonsense and we get about God's business. So, you're all good. Last time I'm telling you today, you're amazing. This is it. This is your last chance. Get it. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're saved. You're right with God. You're talented. I mean, God's got a good plan for your life. Now we're going to talk about how to get the most out of life. Now that I know who I am in Christ, this is all done. How many of you get it? This is finished. Jesus has fixed me up. Amen? All right. God's not mad at me. He's going to work with me. We can't wear God out. Priscilla told us that. How many of you are glad to know you can't wear God out? He's got more patience than you got problems. I like that. So now the question is that I have to leave you with is, so now that Christ has done this for us, what are we going to do through him? What are we going to do for him, I mean? Are we going to let him use the rest of us? Are we going to let him think through our mind, work through our wills? We're going to learn to feel what he feels and want what he wants, and then let Christ be seen through our actual bodies so we can be a blessing to other people. We spent all weekend talking about what Christ has done for us. Now the question is, what are we going to do for him? What are we going to do for him? We reap what we sow. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 are very plain. Let's look at them. Galatians chapter 6, well, actually 7, 8, and 9. See, maybe you'd rather me keep telling you what God's done for you, but now I'm about to tell you what you can do for him. And really, that's the only way we can ever be really fulfilled. Okay. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. See, we can't. There's no way to get what you want to have without doing it God's way. You can't set aside one of God's precepts, and we can't set aside one of God's precepts and then feel like we're maybe going to find our own way to do it. We got to do it God's way. Or by his precepts being set aside, he inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Sure quiet out there. For he who sows to his flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap ruin, decay, and destruction. So if I walk in the flesh, which is a combination of my uncrucified parts of my soul and my body, when the Bible uses the term the flesh, it's talking about these parts of us, the part that we have not relinquished to God. If I walk in the flesh, then I'm going to reap ruin, decay, and destruction. I can't get anything else. If, however, I walk in the Spirit or follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit like we've been talking about, then I'm going to reap life and life eternal. If we walk in the Spirit, we are going to have the best life that we can possibly have. If we walk in the flesh, to be honest, you can still go to heaven, but you will not have enjoyed your journey. You will still go to heaven, but you may not take anybody else with you. I always say that I was on my way to heaven, but I wasn't affecting anybody else in a good way. I wasn't taking anybody with me, and I might have possibly been keeping a few people out. And that's not very good. So, verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Verse 8, he who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap ruin, decay, and destruction. He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint and give up. So here's the bottom line, and I have this so deeply in my heart, I know this. I don't care how messed up a person's life is, if you start choosing to do the right thing by the help of the Holy Spirit, which anytime we choose to do the right thing, let me tell you, God will help us, and anytime we choose to do the wrong thing, the devil will help us. But anytime that we choose to do the right thing, God's grace will abound in our life and we'll be able to do it. Now I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. Anybody who chooses to do the right thing consistently over and over and over and over, you will reap God's reward in your life. It may not come exactly when you'd like it to come, but if you do not relax your courage, if you do not quit and faint and give up, you will overturn all the bad seed that was sown in your past, and you will reap a reward in your life. It's not what we do right once that makes a difference. It's what we do right over and over and over and over and over and over again. I want to know if anybody here is in for the long haul. Because see, here's what I just feel so strongly that it's important for me to be real with you. And I don't want to just see how excited, I mean, I want you to leave excited. I want you to leave with a roar. And I, you know, I'd love to end with a big, and I believe we will. But I got to give you more than that to go home with. Because when that's over and you go home and the lights are not here and the music's not here, and you walk back into some of the same stuff that you left, if you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you today, then basically you've just had a few goosebumps in a party, but nothing's going to change permanently. So you need to understand that when you go home, you have to be prepared to do the things that you've heard this weekend, and we're going to get around to more of this later. And I don't want this to sound negative, but you have to be prepared for opposition because the devil is going to try to keep you from making those changes. So now, you know, you don't get excited about this stuff. Come on. I mean, he's gonna resist you and stand against you. The Apostle Paul said, a wide door of opportunity opened unto me, and with it many adversaries. But if you're persistent, if you just say, devil, go hang yourself, I'm not giving up. I was already warned ahead of time that you were going to come after me, and you are a loser. I have already read the end of the book. I've already read the end of the book, and you are already a defeated foe, and all I have to do is put you in your place. So I'm saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my way. I am going forward for God, and I am going to be all that God wants me to be, and I am going to do all that God wants me to do. And it's very important that we learn to have this aggressive faith attitude. Let me tell you something that happened to me just last week. I just think it makes a good example. You know, I work very hard on my books, and I mean, you know, when you write a 75,000-word book and, you know, you've already written as many as I have, I mean, you got to dig around a little bit to come up with some new material that you really believe is God that's going to really bless people. So this is no, like, you know, picnic. It's a lot of work to do this. And so naturally, anybody, when you work hard, you want to see good fruit. And especially my personality is that way. I am motivated by accomplishment. I'm very goal-oriented, and then I need to see results. I need to see fruit. And I think really we all do to a certain degree, but most type A choleric personalities are really like that. You know, I'll work and work and work and work and work as long as I just see a little bit of progress and a little bit of result. But sometimes when I don't see any, then it's easy to get discouraged. So, new book came out, and I got a report that it wasn't doing very good. The publisher was concerned. The office wasn't getting as many orders as we normally do. Well, what's wrong? So, you know, anytime you initially get a bad report, here comes fear, right? Anybody ever go to the doctor and get a bad report and it doesn't take long for fear to come on? Anybody ever want, you know, you're really believing for your kid to, you know, stop getting in trouble at school, and the phone rings and it's the principal. You know, you're just like, oh, not again. We don't like those bad reports. Well, I started, now I want you to listen to me because this is going to help you when you go home. I started to feel just discouraged. You know, like, God, I work so hard on these books. Please, please. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit saying, Don't go there. Don't. I had a decision to make. I could go with my feelings, or I could go with the Word of God. Come on now. I could go with my feelings. And you know, there was a part of me, this part of me, I wanted to just sit in my office and have a good cry. God, I worked so hard. I've worked so hard for almost 40 years. God. But this part of me is like, stop that. First of all, if I had a book that totally bombed, I'm still extremely blessed because I've got 30 others that have been on the New York bestsellers list. So I don't need to whine around and act stupid about it if everything doesn't turn out exactly the way I'd like it to. But I felt in my spirit that God wanted me to get aggressive. Aggressive faith, not aggressive flesh, but aggressive faith. And there's a big difference. And so I started. I wrote down my confessions. I wrote down that I believed that book was going to do extremely well. I wrote down that I was not going to quit and I was not going to give up, that I was not going to be defeated. And I made a commitment to confess those things out loud. And every time I would think about it, instead of getting discouraged, I'd say, my book sales increased by at least 50% and exceedingly abundantly above and beyond that. You got to fight for yourself. You can't just sit around and whine. I said, you got to fight for yourself. Come on. Well, 4 days later, I mean, I found every scripture I could about God being greater. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The devil's a liar. All things are possible with God. What's impossible with man is possible with God. I mean, I was doing warfare with the word. Are you hearing me? You got to do some warfare with the word of God. And if you don't ever want to do that, let me tell you something. If you ever want to have victory, you got to face Goliath and defeat him. Huh? Well, I asked God to help me. Well, you know, sometimes when you ask God to help you, he gives you something to do. I mean, I've asked God to help me, and he's told me to sow an extra offering and maybe give away some possession that was very precious to me. Sow a seed. Make it a quality seed. Come on, get rid of something that you'd really like to keep. Sow it and trust me for a harvest. Don't make me come out there and get you. I'm letting you into my personal life for a minute. And so, 4 days later, and I'm fighting those four days. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, I mean, I'd already made my mind up. Well, God, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it my best fight. And I trust you with the outcome, but I'm going to do the part that you gave me to do. 4 days later, I get a text message about 8 o'clock at night. From my publisher. Hey, Joyce, just found out your book's number 4 on the New York bestsellers list. I said, well, that ain't bad for a book that got a slow start. And you're going to have to be ready to fight for yourself. You're going to be believing something for your kids, and it's going to look like it's not going to happen. That's not where you throw in the towel and say, well, I don't understand what's wrong, and it's just not going to work, and nothing's ever going to change. And I went to that conference, and I bought the book, and I bought the CD, and I bought the T-shirt, and here I still just got a mess in my life. Are you there? I'm talking about going out of here prepared, ready, knowing that the enemy more than likely will come against you. I mean, you may not like me saying this, but I'm just trying to get you prepared. It's better that I tell you the truth than I send you home and, you know, say, well, praise the Lord, everything's going to be wonderful in your life now. And just because you were here this weekend, everything's just going to happen. You got to know who you are in Christ. And part of that knowing who you are in Christ is knowing what's yours and being willing to stand your ground for it. The devil is not going to have my kids. He's not going to have my grandkids. Amen? And you say, well, I've done all that, and mine are still a mess. Well, you know what? It ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over yet. That's the problem. We think, well, God didn't work on my timetable, so now I'm just going to throw in the towel. I have seen amazing things with my children, with some of my grandchildren already. I've seen amazing things in my body, in my life, in the ministry, in our finances. You just can't give up on God. When he told the disciples to get into the boat, it's recorded in Mark chapter 4, they got in the boat and he said, let us go over to the other side. I love this. Let us go over to the other side. Now, you know, when God says something, he actually really means it. Well, they got out in the middle of the boat in the lake, and this storm of hurricane proportions came, and Jesus was having a nap. Well, isn't that nice? You ever feel like you're in deep trouble, you're in a storm, and God's taking a nap? Sometimes he does it on purpose just to see how we respond, just to stretch us a little bit. To be honest, that was a good little test for me. It was good for me just to kind of go through that and just dig in and say, no, I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give up. I am going to believe for the best life that I can possibly have. And when I work hard, I expect to see good results. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you need to be the same way. When you work hard and you sow a lot of good seed, you have got a blood-bought right to a harvest, and you need to start expecting that harvest to come in your life. Come on. You're sowing seed being here this weekend. You need to expect a harvest of life in your life from being here. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. Life. And life eternal. You cannot give up when you get out in the middle of the lake and there's a storm. Jesus didn't say, get in the boat and let's go to the middle and drown. He said, let us go to the other side. Well, Jesus did get up and he rebuked the storm, and sure enough, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and they arrived on the other side. I love that. You know, it'd be nice if we could just get in the boat, let us go to the other side, skip the whole storm stuff. I'd rather just forget all that middle stuff, and then just they arrived on the other side. But you know what I've found out in life? There's always a beginning, and there's always an ending, and both of those are pretty exciting, but there's also the middle. And you know what the problem is? Very few make it through the middle. And that's just the absolute truth. Very few make it through the middle. And I am going to do my job as one of the people that God allows to teach you the word. And so help me, if it is the last thing I ever do, I am going to help you make it through the middle. I am going to help you by telling you the truth, make it through the middle. And I tell you, even though you may feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat, he's not. He's right there. He's got his eyes on you all the time. Now, the sowing talked about in verses 7 and 8 is the well-doing mentioned in verse 9. He says, be not weary in well-doing. Now, the more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. I want you to hear that. The more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. The more good we do in life, the better quality our life is going to be. The less self-focused we are, the happier we're going to be. The less we try to get what we want and try to make other people have what they want, the more God will give us what we want, and we won't have to struggle to get it. It'll just come as fruit. Are you there? All right, now, to get the most out of life, we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this is so important to me, that you go home ready to really listen to and follow the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean just follow the Holy Spirit when it's convenient and easy and you feel like it and you're ready. I mean, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in little things, in big things, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. You don't get a day off on Thursday. You keep it up on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, at work, in church, in the home. You follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you what. You can even spend 1 year really following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I mean really sowing good seeds in your everyday life, and you could come back here 1 year from now and give me a report, and you'd have to say, my gosh, I cannot believe how much my life has improved. Well, no matter what we might be going through, we're going to get the most out of life if we don't give up or quit in the middle of the storms that we face. Today, we're offering you something that I think is very valuable. the Everyday Life Bible. We've sold over 1 million copies of this Bible. We're offering you the hardback copy today. And it's just, it's a great Bible. It's full of a lot of articles that I've written and different scriptures for you to confess. It's just, everybody really enjoys it. I use it. I like it myself. It's help for every day of our lives that can be found in God's Word. You know, God's Word is very practical. It's not something that's just all just above your head. And, you know, it's, of course, it is all spiritual because it's God's Word. But it deals with all the practical issues of everyday life. So if you don't have your copy of this Bible yet, I strongly recommend that you get it. You're going to enjoy studying from it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.